right, take your Bibles, if you would, please. Acts chapter 27 will be our text tonight. Acts chapter 27 contains one of the great moments in the Bible, one of my favorite stories of the Bible. I don't mean to lessen the power or the truth of that. Just a powerful and wonderful event in the life of the Apostle Paul. It's near the end of the book of Acts, and Paul is on his way to Rome. When you come into chapter 27, verse number 1, you'll have to understand the context of chapter number 26. In chapter 26, Paul is standing before King Agrippa, and he is really pleading for his life, Paul's life, not pleading per se, but making his presentation for his life. He's after Agrippa for his soul. And if you get down to verse number 28 of chapter number 6, one of the most terrifying verses in the whole Bible, the Bible says, "Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." Can you imagine dying without Christ, having been almost persuaded? We never read about the conversion of Agrippa. Bible says, "And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds." He didn't want him just to be almost. He wanted him to be saved. "And when he had thus spoken, the king rose up, and the governor and Bernice and they that sat with them. And when they were gone aside, they talked between themselves, saying, this man doeth nothing worthy of death or of bonds. Then said Agrippa unto Festus, this man might have been set at liberty if he had not appealed unto Caesar." Paul found himself on trial. Paul found himself being taken advantage of. And Paul found himself having to use his legal rights. Sometimes Christians ask me, "Pastor, Where does the Bible stand on our legal rights? Do Christians have a right to legality?" Absolutely. We have legal rights. We are able to stand behind those rights. We're able to stand on those rights. And we are able to use those rights as the Bible would direct us to. However, here, the Apostle Paul, being a Roman citizen, was able to appeal unto Caesar and unto Rome in this trial. So when he makes his appeal, now he's going to have to make his way to Rome to stand before the legal authority. So chapter number 27 is all about the Apostle Paul's trip and his voyage that he would be making by sea. And I don't want to take all the time reading. I want to pick up in verse number 9 just to kind of help you with some context here. The Bible says, "Now when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past," being one of the feasts there, "Paul admonished them and said unto them, sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken of by Paul. And because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart thence also, if by any means they might attain to Phoenice, there to winter, which is an haven of Crete, and lieth toward the southwest and the northwest." And so you will find that Paul admonishes them that it's not a good time to sail, but the centurion listens to the owner and the captain of the ship, and they're going to go ahead and they're going to make their way. Pick up, if you would, please, in verse number 14. "But not long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. When the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive." No pun intended on the "her" drive there. "And running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat. And when they had taken up, they used helps, undergirding the ship, and fearing lest that they should fall into the quicksands, strake sail, and so were driven. And we, being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. The third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. I love this passage in the Bible, and I'm glad that the Lord put this here for us. And the reason I'm glad that the Lord put this here for us is because I find myself sometimes, and I'm sure you may find yourself sometimes, in situations that we would deem to be hopeless situations. I don't know if you've ever had any kind of life threat upon the seas or upon the ocean. I have been on the ocean when it has been very intimidating. I have been on the ocean at nighttime, and the ocean has power. I have actually been on the ocean before when I have been afraid that we were going to sink. And when you talk about sinking in the ocean with those big sharks out there, you're talking about moments that get you very close to God. And they find themselves sailing here, and they find themselves in the midst of a storm, and they find themselves even at a point where you and I sometimes find ourselves, where hope has been stripped out of the situation. And when I was reading this and praying and asking the Lord as far as what he would have for our message tonight, finding hope in hopeless situations. It's interesting how fast hope can be stripped from situations. It's interesting how many situations we can find ourselves in where we wrestle with hope. I would say that once we lose hope in a situation, many times we're just prone to give up. Or we're prone to resign ourselves, or we're prone to give in. And not all hopeless situations are life-threatening. Sometimes people say, Pastor, our relationship is just hopeless. Pastor, my job is just hopeless. Pastor, my family's just hopeless. My kids are just, it's just a hopeless situation, Pastor. And even good, godly, saved, Christian, God-fearing, God-loving people will sometimes be in situations where if you're not careful, hope can be stripped from these. And so I wanted to give you some truths tonight, and I want to give you three main truths, but there's some truths that are underneath these. I would beg you to write them down. Write them down in your Bible. Write them down on a piece of paper. Write them down in your memory. But I don't know what your situation is tonight, but if you're trying to find hope in what you deem as a hopeless situation, and you're a child of the living God, then I think this passage of Scripture going forward is going to be able to unfold some of that. And I want you to pick up, if you would please, at verse number 20. It says, we left off there, that all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. Verse 21 begins with the word what? But. Now look at me just a second. Do you know God is your Savior? If so, say amen. Amen. As long as you have God, you have hope. As long as you have God, you have hope. He's the God of hope. He's the Lord of hope. He's the hope of our lives. I will make you this promise. God will never quit. You will be the one to quit. As far as God is concerned, he doesn't see hopelessness. I'll show you what God sees. Pastor, I'm in a situation in my life where I just believe it's hopeless. And so I'm thinking about quitting. Okay. As long as you have God, you have hope. You are the one that quit, not God. So when it all comes crashing down, you're the one to blame, not God. Okay? So here they find themselves in a hopeless situation. Hope has been stripped. They think they're going to die. Very next word of verse number 21 is the word but. But after long abstinence, this was talking about an abstinence away from food. Remember, they hadn't eaten in many days. Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, "Sirs, we're going down." Does your Bible say that? No. He says, "Now, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not loosed from Crete and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good," what? "Cheer. For there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, 'Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee.'" So hope has been stripped. Luke is writing this. Hope, and Luke says, "Listen, we didn't believe we were going to live. We believed we were going to die. This is just the way it was. It was a hopeless situation, and we were not going to find any hope." All of the sudden, in the midst of all of that, Paul stands up and says, "Hey, fellas, cheer up. It's not as bad as you think. Hey, fellas, there stood by me tonight the angel of the Lord." Now, if you thought you were going to die and some idiot stood up and said, "I think the angel of the Lord's told me we're going to survive," what would you think? "We're going down." Paul stands up and says, "No, God was with me." And Paul experienced on that ship a moment with God that nobody else had experienced. So write this truth down. If you're going to find hope in a hopeless situation, finding hope begins with time alone with God. Finding hope begins with time alone with God. The Apostle Paul found a moment when the angel of God came and stood by him, and they had this moment alone, just the two of them. And in this moment alone, three things happened to the Apostle Paul. Write them down. Verse 23, he gained perspective about the situation. Number two, verse 23. Verse 22 was the perspective. Verse number 23, he also gained peace about the situation. Number three, verse number 24, he also found that there was a purpose for the situation. So here's the Apostle Paul in a hopeless situation. He is the one where hope begins. And the hope stems in and through him, not because of him, but it stems because he has spent a moment alone with God. And God has encouraged him, spoken to him, and given him a direction. Many times when we find ourselves in situations that we deem to be hopeless, we isolate ourselves. But isolating yourself is not spending a time alone with God. Spending time alone with God is you getting up in the morning, is you staying up late, it's you finding a prayer closet, finding a word of God. It's you, yes, even sometimes getting apart from the situation. Sometimes married people say, "We're done, it's over. Our situation is hopeless, and we're just going to end this thing." I understand. Sometimes you may get to that place. But sometimes you need to have maybe a little bit of a separation or alone time where each individual can get alone with God and spend some time with God and let God put within you perspective, peace, and purpose. Look at the perspective being alone brought the Apostle Paul in verse number 22. Paul says, "Now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship." Now they're in a situation where they think they're going to lose their life. They're in a situation that they have deemed to be just extreme, and therefore hope has been stripped out of that. And the Apostle Paul says, now fellas, really, we're not in as a dangerous situation as you think. We're not really in as much trouble as what you think. Now the ship's going down, but you're going to be spared. And so many times we are so quick to assign hopelessness to a situation when God's not done working. We just simply think, okay, so this thing is hopeless, and we're gonna lose everything, and it's all gonna go down south, and this is just, my life is over, and this is the way. But when you begin to spend time with God, and you begin to spend alone time with God, God begins to shape your perspective biblically. He begins to shape your perspective from an eternal standpoint that even works into your temporal standpoint. I need you to understand, perspective is important. Pastor, it's over and I'm done. It's a hopeless situation. That's one perspective. Another perspective is, Pastor, I don't know what God's putting me through right now, and it is extremely difficult, and I want to just say it's hopeless. But I know that God has not given up on me, and I'm going to trust the Lord. If you see the difference, say amen. You're never going to find hope in hopeless situations if you don't know how to get alone with God and let being alone with God, His Spirit and His Word, begin to put perspective back into your life. Normally, things are not near as bad as what people think they are. We've just been quick to assign hopelessness to something. And so what we need is we need God to do this work of peace in our life. Verse number 23, "For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve." So peace is here, and the angel brought peace to Paul's heart. Paul's able to bring peace to their heart, knowing that he belongs to God. If you belong to God, say amen. You do not make the right decision when you're at unrest. You're going to make a proper decision. It ought to be a decision that's based off of the peace of God that passeth all understanding. Pastor, my whole world is coming down. Okay. Step out apart from your situation. Find some time to get alone with God. Let God build perspective into your heart and into your mind. And then let God begin to bring a peace to your heart and your mind. What kind of peace? Peace that you belong to Him. Peace that He's able to care for you. Peace that He's able to meet all of your need. Peace that He's standing there. And as you find the peace of God that passeth all understanding, the Bible says it guards your heart and your mind. So I spend time alone with God. I get perspective. I get peace. And then look at verse number 24. Saying, "Fear not, Paul. Thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee." All right. So there's an understanding of purpose here. Verse number 25. It's kind of a funny situation here. So Paul stands up and says, okay, we're going to all survive this. Verse 25 says, "Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me." And then he says, "Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island." We're going to live, but we're going to shipwreck. And we have to shipwreck because God told me we have to be on this island. Now, God told me that I've got to be able to stand before Rome, but God has also told me that God is using this storm to put us on this island. When you read verse chapter number 28 and you read verses 1 to 10, you will find that God had a specific work that he wanted Paul to do on this island. And so while Paul is in the midst of a hopeless situation, he's spending time alone with God. Perspective is being built. peace is filling his heart, and purpose is filling his mind and his soul. Pastor, our situation financially is so dire, it's hopeless. Pastor, our situation relationally is so dire, it's hopeless. No. You can quit when God quits. But God has a purpose for what he's doing. And you must trust, and this is my next point, I'll get there, but you must see the purpose of God. So let's take marriage. Pastor, our marriage is hopeless. Well, God's probably brought you to this situation for a purpose to correct both of you. We have no fault insurance. In marriage, everybody's at fault. So Pastor, my situation at this job is just, it's just hopeless, man. It's just not going to happen. No, God's got a purpose there. Well, Pastor, this situation with our kids is hopeless. No, God always has purpose in everything that he does. So Paul finds himself in the midst of this storm. He spends some time with God. God says, now, Paul, get some perspective here, man. The perspective is the ship's going down, but you're going to be okay. The peace is I'm going to protect you, and I'm going to give you everybody that's with you. And then also, I need you to understand some purpose, that I know what I am doing. Do you believe that God always knows what he is doing? If I don't know about you, but I'm glad he always knows what he is doing. Fear is such a nasty, nasty enemy in our lives. To fear the Lord is not an enemy, but we get so afraid, and we think so negative and so little, and we're so quick to quit. And really and truthfully, it's really an evidence of how much we're trusting ourselves and not trusting in the Lord. And that's point number two. If I'm going to, finding hope begins with spending time alone with God. You must begin there. Number two, finding hope means that you completely trust the Lord. If you look at verse number 25 of chapter, trust in the Lord. Verse number 27, I'm sorry, maybe I got the wrong verse here. Yes, let's go there. Let's go to verse number 27. It says, but when the 14th night was come, and we were driven up and down in Adria about midnight, the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country. And they sounded and found it 20 fathoms. When they had gone a little further, they sounded again and found it 15 fathoms. Then fearing lest we should have, there's that word fearing again. Fear is driving this whole situation. Then fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast four anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea under color, as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be what, class? Okay, now you need to understand something. They're sending those fathoms out, and they're sounding that, and they're hearing that come back. And they know that this ship being driven, man, is being driven in this direction, and they're scared to death that they're going to be destroyed on the rocks of those things. The thing that makes sense is set the anchors and get the boats and get off the ship. This is what makes sense. Paul comes to them, and Paul says, if you get out of this boat, even though this boat's going down, if you get in that lifeboat, you're going to die. Now, just put yourself in their place. They are in a hopeless situation. Fear just ravaged on them. These men sailed the seas. Put the anchor, cut the boats, get off. And some old man stands up and says, God told me that's the wrong thing to do. You can go get in that boat, but you get in that boat, you're going to die. If we stay here, we're going to die. No, God told me if we stay in this ship, we're going to live. What would you do? I don't know that we know, but I will submit to you this. You're going to find hope in a hopeless situation. You're going to be confronted how much you trust the Lord. Look, if you would, at verse number 30. I'm sorry. Yeah, verse number 30, and we'll review it. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea under color as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship, Paul said to the centurion, to the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. Then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and they let her fall off. They obeyed. They trusted God's message. They trusted God's provision. They trusted God's word. They trusted the Lord. They're in this hopeless situation. There is their lifeboat in their eyes, and they took their knife and went, whoosh, and they let it fall. And they said, in essence, we're going to trust the Lord. Now, you want to find hope in a hopeless situation? You get alone with God. You let God build perspective and peace and purpose in your life. You let that book anchor in your soul. And then you stake your life on thus saith the Lord. Pastor, the pressure to get in that boat, the pressure to get out of my situation, the pressure to just jump, right? Everybody faces that. Everybody's going to be put to that. But do you want to live or do you want to die? I want to live. You want to survive the situation? Then you got to go with the book. You got to go with what God says. You got to say, God, I don't know what we're going to do. But I know this. I'm going to do exactly what you tell me to do. And if I go down, then we're going down together. Now, I got news for you. Not only does God not quit, he doesn't go down. We're on the winning team. Pastor, I do trust the Lord. Let me just evidence people that trust the Lord. It's so beautiful in this passage. Look at verse number 33. And while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take what? Meat. Saying, this day is the 14th day. 14th day. 2 weeks that you have tarried and continued fasting and have taken nothing. Wherefore, I pray you to take some meat, for this is for your health. For there shall not a hair fall from the head of any of you. And when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. When he had broken it, he began to eat. Then were they all of good cheer. And they also took some meat. And were in all in the ship 260 souls, 276 people. And when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship, cast out the wheat into the sea. Pastor, I trust the Lord. I'm trusting the Lord in the middle of my hopeless situation. Well, I think you will find that the evidence that you trust the Lord is that you're able to eat. You're able to function. You're able to know a healthy life. We had a health seminar yesterday. Obviously, our church doesn't care about health because not very many of you showed up. So, Pastor, I'm going through my problems, and I don't eat, and I don't sleep, and I'm my health is going down, and everything is falling apart. Then don't tell me you trust the Lord. Don't do it. Don't do it. You might be able to say that you're going through this, and you stand there, but the evidence that I trust the Lord is that I'm able to relate in life. Paul said, you guys haven't eaten for 2 weeks. Do you understand that not even one hair of your head is going to be messed up? Eat some food, man. Your health is at stake. Eat some food. Once they received the fact of God's promise, they began to eat. They began to nurture themselves. Their health began to get restored. Pastor, my situation is so hopeless, we don't even talk about it anymore. Then you don't trust the Lord. Pastor, my situation is so hopeless, I just ignore it. Then you're not trusting the Lord. Pastor, my situation is just so hopeless that we've separated or I quit that or I'm doing this or whatever. No, no, no. If you say you trust the Lord, then there's going to be a peace within you that's going to enable you to live your life for the glory of the Lord. If you understand that, say amen. The only person that you would be deceiving would be yourself. Finding hope. It begins in spending alone time with God. It allows perspective and peace and purpose to be built in my life for me to see what God is doing. Sometimes that makes me want to be apart from the situation. Then, if I'm going to find hope, I'm going to completely trust in the Lord. The evidence of that is that I'm able to function in my life. Can I say something and you won't get angry at me? Help me here. I want to speak to our married people just a second. Married people. I'm trying to say this kindly. Can you tell I'm battling? Men, when my wife can't count on me because I've fallen apart emotionally, that's a problem. Wives, when you fall apart out of your mind emotionally to where you can't relate, that's a problem. I'm the head of our home, at least when she lets me. And the body needs a head. And the head needs to function like the head. And the head needs a body. And there's a union that must take place there. It's so unfair when one person isn't right with the Lord. It's so unfair when one person comes into this situation and just isn't walking with the Lord the way that they should be. And then there's this hopeless attitude or atmosphere that develops within inside the home, or it develops within inside our children, or it develops inside our job in every areas of our life. You are an individual. And as an individual, you and I have responsibilities before God. Men, you need to be right spiritually. It's unfair for you to be spiritually wrong to your wife. That puts a burden on her she can't carry. Ladies, it's unfair to that man if you don't walk with God. So here's what happens. One side or the other is so quick to go into hopeless despair. Instead of two people as individuals walking with the Lord, being right with God, and allowing God to bring them in wonderful unity. Mom and dad, in your home, if you're 0 to 60 to hopelessness when you've got problems, what kind of message does that send to your children? Well, God must not be able to do this. Here we go. Misery and unfairness and hopelessness. Mom and dad, it's unfair for you to your children not to know unity together when you walk with the Lord. If there's two of you in the home, if there's only one mom or mother in the home or dad in the home, then that person must be right with the Lord. But to go into hopelessness without anchoring your heart and your mind in the Lord is a heavy burden that is placed on people that's difficult to tolerate. Very difficult to tolerate. We have a responsibility to be right with God for ourselves. Pastor, my situation is hopeless. Don't quit. God's not quitting. Get alone with God. Let him build perspective and peace and purpose in your life. Get to the place where you trust the Lord enough to stay in that boat, enough to go against your own mind, enough to go against what you see, even though all the circumstances say one thing. God said, I'm standing here. I'm standing here. He ain't going down. Lastly, when you're looking for hope in a hopeless situation, try the impossible. Try the impossible. Do not dismiss impossibility. Look, if you would, at verse number 39. And when it was day, they knew not the land, but they discovered a certain creek with a shore, into the which they were minded, if it were, say those words, possible to thrust in this ship. So, Pastor, our situation financially is just devastated. This is what people tell me. Pastor, our finances are hopeless. Normally, and let me apologize to the women here. It's unfair. When a man gets to where he can't handle something, he wants to hide from it. And most of the time, what I'm finding is when a man doesn't want to take responsibility over finances as far as helping to lead there, and he deems them to be hopeless, the first thing he does is he dumps them on his wife. Man, no husband ought to dump on his wife. I'll say amen to that. Amen. So here's what happens. People come and say, Pastor, our finances are beyond hopelessness. I'll say, well, do you tithe? Oh, no, man, that's impossible. Well, Pastor, our marriage has got a hopeless situation. Well, have you spent time alone with God? Are you working? No, that will never work. That's not possible. Pastor, my job situation is just, did you take advantage? No, you don't understand. You're telling me this, but you don't know my situation. Right. But this book trumps everybody's situation. There's a lot of times I don't know somebody's situation, but I know this book, and I know the principles of this book, and the principles of this book and the truth of this book trump my situation all the time. So what happens is we get in these hopeless situations, and God presents a direction or an answer, and it just seems like it's so impossible. And then we say stupid things like, well, I've tried that and it didn't work. Well, I found that when I try the word of God, it works every time. Yeah. When you want to find hope in a hopeless situation, begins by spending alone time with God. You must have complete trust in the Lord. And then you must not dismiss the impossible. Try the impossible. Pastor, God can't put my problem back together. Oh, my friend, there is not a problem that exists that God can't put back together. We're just going to quit. No, don't quit. You quit when God has quit. Pastor, the fight's been long. They were 14 days without food. I've been almost 14 days without a Coke. I'm ready to kill somebody. I understand that. Pastor, I'm tired. I'm tired of this on my mind. I'm tired of this in my life. I'm tired. Right. So get alone with God. Get renewed. Get refreshed. Pastor, what if I've already quit? What if I've already given up? Well, there's a verse in the Bible that says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. If I had felt like I had quit or I'd already given up, I think I would get alone with God and I'd fall on my face and I would say, God, I didn't trust you. I quit. I'm sorry. I'll humble myself. If you'll do a work in my heart, God, I know you can, that nothing is impossible with you. And I would start right there and I would let God begin to build in those. There is hope in the midst of hopeless situations. You just got to find it. Let's pray.